This is Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1.
Hi, this is Bob Fitrakis, broadcasting from the WCRS studio. We've got the privilege of speaking with Jim Condit Jr., a candidate in Ohio's 8th Congressional District, who ran against the next Speaker of the House, the Speaker in waiting, John Boehner. And some interesting things happened on election night. Why don't you tell us about it, Jim? What happened to you, and why should people go to this website? Is it voterfraud.org?
No, votefraud.org, VOTEFRAUD.org.
Votefraud.org.
That's correct. We're not so much worried about voter fraud. That would be retail where somebody's got a driver's license and they registered an illegal to vote. That's a problem. We should only have people that are eligible to vote. But we're worried about vote fraud as practiced by those who control the computer programs that count 99% of this country's vote in secret every election night. And if I could just say briefly my credentials in a way on this issue. We got dragged into this issue in 1979, a lifetime ago, when we saw the city council race in Cincinnati break down. The computers broke down at 9:45. And at 11:15, they came up, and a lot of the incumbents that were losing jumped into winner's place, and all of the third party and independents dropped to the bottom of the race. And that year, it was 9 winners, 26 running. Some of us were doing well until the computer breakdown. But when the computers came back up, all of the libertarians, independents, our group, and the socialist candidate dropped to the bottom 7 positions. So that's why I got dragged into this, how I got dragged into it. Votefraud.org is actually the first website up on the internet in March of 1996 dealing with the dangers of computer counted elections, secretly counted elections counted by computer. So what happened the other night, Bob, was that I was expecting, because these are secret computer programs, I was expecting that we would just all lose badly. It was kind of a foregone conclusion that Boehner would win, and he did. I don't doubt that he won the race. But one of my friends called me. The 8th District of Ohio, incidentally, the congressional district, runs up quite far up towards Toledo, and it runs down to right near the edge of Cincinnati. So one of my friends from in the 419 area code, which is more toward Toledo, called us at about 9 o'clock and said, "Hey, you're getting 24%. You're beating the Democrat."
Yeah, great.
So we immediately started to check things out, and I called a few friends who are computer savvy and said, "Get the screenshots from
yeah,
the internet."
Yeah, definitely.
By morning, they're going to have me at 1 or 2%. So what happened was that because the Boehner race was some of this is a little bit of surmise, but I think that you, the listeners and yourselves, will realize it's a reasonable surmise. Because the Boehner race was a national race and he was slated to be Speaker of the House, then all the networks were running his race periodically across the bottom of the screen. ABC and NBC, and therefore MSNBC, carried all 4 candidates. That would have been Boehner the Democrat, Boehner the Republican, Kasul the Democrat, Harlow the Libertarian, and me, Condit, the Constitution Party, okay? CNN and Fox and CBS did not carry the third parties, you might say. They carried only the Democrat and Republican. But ABC and MSNBC and NBC did. So all through the night, they're scrolling, and all through the night, I have about 18% of the vote. So, for instance, and all 3 local networks in Cincinnati, Channel 12, Channel 5, Channel 9, which are the CBS, NBC, and ABC affiliate, they're all reporting and scrolling the same thing. So I had, let's say, at about, most of the time from 10 to 11, they had 55% of the precincts reporting, and I had about 18% of the vote. Sometimes they showed the Democrat a little bit ahead of me, sometimes below. Boehner had about 60% of the vote, and the Libertarian, Mr. Harlow, steadily had 4% all night. So then we got to the point at a let. Now, I'm also getting affidavits and have some affidavits from people who saw these things on TV. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, since VHS has yielded to DVDs, I'm not really set up, and I don't know many people that are set up to record properly. I got to fix that. But we got affidavits. So, for instance, on Channel 5 Local, which is the NBC affiliate, they, like the other stations that were carrying me and Harlow, ran me at with 55% of the precincts reporting. I was like at 15,600 votes, something like that, and that was about 18% of the vote. And that continued on, and to make a long story short, because we need to discuss more than just the details of this night probably, at 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, they showed on ABC website and on the local CBS website, which is Channel 12, they showed a final 100% of the precincts reporting. John Boehner had about 130,000 votes. I had 36,202. The Democrat had 29,000 and something. The Libertarian had 4,000 and something, and he was at 2%. That was at 12:30 a.m. We have the screenshots, okay? And they're up on the internet, and I'll give the website again. Now, at 12:50, which is 20 minutes later, 12:58, men, a new final count came out. Yes. 100% of the precincts still reported, but 32,000 votes had been subtracted from me. 32,000 votes were added to the Democrats, so I now ended up in last place at 3,400-something votes. The Democrat had 66,000 votes. And he came in, you know, with something like 30% or something, and then the Libertarian stayed the same. So we have these and other screenshots throughout the night, which in some places they I kept going from 3,000 to 35,000 several times, almost like somebody was refreshing the program, and they had been taken by surprise by my vote count, and then it would go back to 35,000,
nice.
But then they would redo it, and it would 3,000 on several of the stations. That happened. That wild jump happened a few times. So I guess what I'm saying is if someone wants to look at this for themselves, they can go to votefraud.org. It's VOTEFRAUD.org. And then what you do is click on the very top. It says screenshots showing vote manipulation in the Boehner-Condit Kasule-Harlow race. And then if they click on that, they'll see a one-page introduction I did giving them my best educated guesstimate on why this happened. And then if they click on that page, they'll see clicks to go straight through to the screenshots. And there's also a commentary above each screenshot. So it's kind of to help. Now, people can then look at the evidence after they read my commentary and decide whether they think my commentary fits the facts or not. But we do have those screenshots up there so people can analyze it and make their own judgment. One other thing I might add before I stop the monologue here, and that is that the problem we're in is that we have four computer companies. Some now say it's only three, but at least a few years ago, 2008, it was Diebold Election System and Software, short DS&S, Hart and Sequoia, that according to a Nation magazine article by Ronnie Duggar in 2004, are counting 96% of the vote in the United States. These counties, except for part of New Hampshire, basically, the sin of the local board of elections is they step out of the way, they hand it over to one of these four companies by a contract, and then these companies have software which no one is allowed to look at, according to the courts. At least that's the maybe there's an exception here or there, but the courts have said these are proprietary secrets. And there is why I've told the third-party people, I don't care where on the spectrum they are, third parties and independents are checkmated for the next 1,000 years if we don't get an open and verifiable vote count, because the Democrats and Republicans control every county in this country. The county is the level at which they decide how the vote is counted. And I just don't see those who are running these secret computer counts allowing challengers to get very far. And if they need to, they just fix this. They just fix it like you saw in my race. They don't like that I had caught on in a little bit and got, you know, too high a percentage of the vote, which would have been about 20%. So at the end of the night, somebody just highlights it and changes it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's interesting. I have your website in front of me, and I'm looking at the screenshots, and it's definitely very telling because you can see the time in the lower right-hand side, right-hand corner, and kind of track how it's going. And also, I would just like to point out to the listeners that it's not that you had a certain percentage of votes. Like, you got a high percentage as it was coming in, and then it went down from there. There were actually a significant number of votes that seemed to have disappeared. And
Right. If 100% of the votes are in. And we ran into this problem in 2004 when 100% of the votes were in Miami County. And then out of nowhere, Bush picked up 10,000 more votes when the after 100% came in, more than 30,000 more votes came in at the exact same percentage as if somebody had pushed a button and simply taken the percentage and added more votes. And again, you're right. The problem is private, for-profit companies, technicians, software, hardware, technical support that are using secret source code protected by the courts as proprietary, as intellectual property, and the people can't trust their own vote count. And there seems to be collusion among the election officials, which are by law Democrats and Republicans, not to change the system. I think it's quite telling that John Kerry, who was briefed on this stuff, refused to challenge the Republican Party in Ohio, just simply accepted election results that didn't match the exit polls. So what do you make of that?
I was on a email a year, I'm going to say after the 2000 debacle, where it became obvious to the average person that there was a problem. We were talking about, I think you've probably heard of the book Vote Scam, The Stealing of America by Ken and Jim Collier.
Oh, yeah, I'd recommend that book to anyone. It's really a classic and the first in the field that really deals with this problem.
And we got involved with them, and I called them in 1985 when we had a court order to be able to go through the Cincinnati Board of Elections, thanks to my dad, who's an attorney, who did a public interest lawsuit. And the Colliers, unfortunately, both of them died of cancer in the 90s, but our Cincinnati story is chapter 12 of that book. But the Collier, I was going to mention that the Colliers felt this way, and and I mentioned them because they were talking about hanging Chad and taught me about hanging Chad in 1985. But the media, Geraldo Rivera, others, would not cover it. They were very savvy, and they met with a lot of these big news people, and they couldn't get them. Bob Woodward said to them, "This isn't something I'm interested in writing about." Well, okay, but then you're not a very good reporter, are you? Or you're part of something that's covering it up. But what I want to say was, I was on an email with a lot of the names that you would recognize, a lot of the professors, and a lot of the people that had been investigating vote fraud, Bev Harris, Lynn Landis, and they were saying that the Bushes controlled the election system. So at least that was the general thing being said. And I said, look, don't say this, because I despise the Bushes. I believe they probably need to be put on trial for treason from four different angles. But if you say it's the Bushes or the Republican Party, you're going to lose credibility as soon as the Democrats and the and like's happened now, like there's a Democratic president, Democratic Congress. Yeah. So when you say what do I make of Kerry? Here's my theory, and you again, obviously feel free to disagree. It's your show,
right?
But I believe that around the Federal Reserve Bank and the dominant part of Wall Street, we have a problem. They always say follow the money. I believe that the Federal Reserve operates a lot like our voting system. They issue money in secret. They haven't been audited since 1913. So I believe that these financial forces, who obviously would have the power, I mean, Bob, if you and I and Connie were put in charge of the Federal Reserve Board and we were crooked, we could all walk out tonight at midnight with $10 million in our bank account as
a
loan.
I could use $10 million.
Yeah, all of it's good. But my only point is, I think that logically, and I'm not saying all of Wall Street, of course, and I don't even think all the people that are in the Fed would be guilty here, but I think the money power in this world it basically has a thing going behind the media, behind the, you know, behind the Fed and the IMF, and behind the two parties, and therefore, I kind of look at these presidential elections that like it's a company. Like, I don't want to, you know, I just use Procter & Gamble or Microsoft as an example. Kerry and Bush were on the board, and they both want to be chairman of the board, and they fight it out. But when the powers that be that are behind them give them the word, it seems like they lay down and say, "Okay, I'm going to accept I'm going to accept something, even though I may know it's wrong." And so Kerry, there was no human explanation why Kerry didn't challenge the Ohio vote, because I remember there were so many things he could have challenged. And I often wondered if his vice president, who's escaping me, John
Edwards, who wanted, announced they were going to challenge it.
Exactly. John Edwards announced they would. And I got to tell you, I don't like John Edwards either. However, in this case, he announced they were going to challenge it. And I wondered if that's why he got such little publicity in 2008, because they, for a guy who had been vice presidential candidate, he got almost no publicity versus Hillary and Obama, and that didn't seem sensible. So I wondered if him going off the reservation there and showing he had a little bit of independent mind hurt him, you know, got him on the wrong side. But that's my take. I think there is a power, you might say, behind the major parties. And Kerry, you know, in Gore in 2000, I told people when that 35-day struggle was going on, I told them two things, and one is that the five TV networks were treating Bush like the winner from day one. You always saw Bush surrounded by his potential cabinet, like he was already in, and you'd always see Al Gore like out at a press conference, like saying, "Please listen to me," like he was some kind of a weirdo, a guy trying to, you know, something like a Mooney going from door to door. Please, he was treated that way in the media. So I said, one, the media, Bush is going to win, number one, because this is the way the five TV networks are treating it, even though they take a little different shade about it.
And they really called that election without any data. I mean, they called it based on a computer error. 16,000 votes accidentally given to Bush, 4,000 taken away from 16,000 taken away from Gore, 4,000 given to Bush, and it was called by George Bush's first cousin by Fox, and every single one of the media outlets, despite the fact that the exit polls couldn't predict, all went with Bush.
WCRS 98.3 102.1. This is Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton. In the studio, we have Jim Condit Jr., candidate for Congress in the 8th District of Ohio, running against John Boehner this year.
And it probably hasn't escaped you as well that that Kerry and Bush just happened to belong to the same secret society at Yale.
Yeah. Did you remember when Tim Russert on Separate Sundays asked them about that, and they both basically refused to comment, which is the skull and bones rule. Nobody in it's allowed to. But, you know, and the other thing I told people in 2000 is Al Gore and all these guys have been dependent on advisors who I think answer to this background power. And I said, when they tell Gore to give in, he will walk out and he will say, "Okay, it's been gone on long enough," and he will humbly give in. And that's what happened. I don't agree with Richard Nixon in 1960 or with these guys more recently, Gore and Kerry and so forth. I think if there is a problem, we should fight it out, not lay down and let it say, "Okay, well, it's gone on a month. I guess we better just give in for the good of the country." I don't see how it's for the good of the country to not bring out all the things that we've been talking about here.
Well, and even worse than that, Gore stopped the Congressional Black Caucus from bringing these issues up when the Electoral College votes were counted, went out of his way not to have a debate when 92,000 citizens in Florida were unjustly thrown off the rolls, not allowed to vote, because they were falsely accused of being felons based on incorrect computer data from Choice Point, which worked for the FBI and the Justice Department.
Right, right, exactly, exactly. And I guess everyone, well, maybe some of the listeners don't know about the movie Hacking Democracy, mm-hmm. which was put out by HBO. I highly recommend people to get that, because it does give a good, summary, shall we say. It's a documentary, but it gives a good feel for why the current secret computer counts have to be abandoned in favor of verifiable, I would say verifiable paper ballot hand counts is what I would prefer at each precinct. And, you know, we figured it up in the first 8 months we were in Iraq in 2003, whatever the first 8 months were, I believe cost $48 billion. And that money would pay two people to count. In effect, it would be, on average, eight persons per every precinct in the United States. But that would pay all those eight people $100 for 4 hours' work, counting 50 ballots each, for the next 60 years, both the primary and the general election. So the idea that we can't afford to have a verifiable system that can't be rigged from a central location is not true. Because I will bet, I'm remiss in this, Bob, maybe you've looked at it, I'm remiss in looking at the contracts that the counties have with Diebold and Hart and them. I'll bet we're paying more than that to have them count our vote in secret.
Probably. Oh, yeah, Connie collected all of those in the States for us. And if you go across the country, it's gonna cost more than that. And shockingly, here in Ohio, I wrote an article about this, Diebold, now Premier, admitted that 10 or 11 of its machines was flipping votes and incorrectly counting votes.
Oops, incorrectly, so, on purpose or by accident.
In order to settle that case, Jennifer Bruner, the Secretary of State, agreed to let them to settle the case of bad software and hardware, is to give away free software and hardware and discounted software and hardware to 45 counties. So that's the settlement. Your software doesn't work, and it looks like it's rigging elections. In order to settle the case, you can give it to half the counties in Ohio.
Wow, that's really great. I bet the boards of elections were really happy to have those free machines.
That's kind of like saying the patient is looking a little sick, we'll feed him some medicine, and then when he gets deathly ill, they say double the medicine, you know?
Yeah.
Could I ask you this, Bob? Do you agree, and Connie, do you agree that the basic sin, because again, this is a guesstimate on my part, I feel, you know, Diebold or Premier or ESNS, they didn't just come in and steal the delegation that they got to count our votes in secret. Do you think that the sin of the local counties is stepping aside and handing this over to these private counties, rather than that they are in on fixing the elections when indeed they are fixed?
Well, I don't know necessarily, but I would definitely blame it partly on incompetence. I did public records requests asking for records of purge voters, and I did these requests of all of the counties, and there were a few who just seemed like they didn't know what was going on, and you know, there are plenty of people that you know, had experience working with the boards of elections, who are saying, oh, this county's bad, they're bad, you know, they'll try to keep the information from you. And really, I felt like the biggest problem that I encountered was incompetence. So I don't know what the answer to that question is.
The reality is, yeah. Most people on the board of elections, for lack of a better term, but I think a very accurate term nonetheless, are political hacks.
Yeah.
Or political operatives. There are people that are there, like Bill Anthony, who's a Democrat here in Franklin County. Bill Anthony was convicted of a felony for selling marijuana. He was compromised. Mm-hmm. He went into politics, and the local paper and officials always held that over his head. So he's now the chair of the Democratic Party, and he's also the director of the Board of Election. He doesn't do anything down there. He's hardly ever around. He collects a paycheck. He's waiting to retire, and he leaves it up to Matt Dampschroeder, who is on record for taking what looks like a bribe from Diebold. But neither of them, nor do virtually any of the workers down there, know how to code their own machines, fix their own machines, and this is true throughout the state of Ohio. When I asked for the votes from one rural county in 2004, they said, we'll get you the votes. We just have to email ES&S, which keeps our official vote totals, and they'll send them back to us. So the Board of Election did not have access to its own election results.
They didn't keep
their
own
records. A private vendor was keeping their records for a lot of money.
Yes. Yeah, well, that is how I see it, too, that these local Board of Elections do not even know, but nevertheless, they, in effect, they, regardless of what their level of incompetence is, which I think is great, they do step aside and hand over the counting process, delegate it to these companies or pay for their services, and therefore they are very dependent on these companies. And I think
it's absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
This is easy. We'll take care of it for you. This is easy, and they go the easy route. But that still leaves the Democrat Republican Party, seems to be at the national and state level, really pushing these four companies, which I think is what has they have to be exposed for that so that we can get away from this whole secret count system.
And the technicians showed up unannounced, bringing in software, new software, unannounced the day before the election in 2004.
We have about a minute to wrap up.
We got a minute there, Jim.
A couple minutes, maybe.
What's your last thought?
I just want to thank you very much for having me on. Bob, I remembered that of all the speakers I saw that day, you were the most impassioned and really gave a great speech up there in 2000. If everyone wants to check out these incredibly fluctuating screenshots, go to votefraud.org and click on the top of the screenshots for the Condon Boehner race. And the very minimum anyone could say is, if this was fluctuating this much on the networks, the system isn't tight enough. We've got to look at the whole system.
Thank you, Jim. It's been so great speaking with you.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
This has been Fight Back with Bob Fetrakis and Connie Goodell-Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1.